This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by a brilliant leader and lawyer and partner of McGuire Woods, Kate Hardy. Kate helps to lead up the cannabis practice and has truly just become an expert in this area. It's been fascinating to watch. She also does her and her team do a podcast video series called Edible Bites. They also do a regular newsletter a couple times a month called In the Weeds. And they've over the last bunch of years, and Kate Starks is a brilliant healthcare and transactional lawyer, has become sort of really versed in the cannabis space. We're going to talk to Kate today about it, and just a pleasure of a person to work with, about a few of the trends that Kate's watching in the cannabis and the CBD space and so forth. Kate, why don't you take one moment and introduce yourself, and then let's talk about the big trends that you're following currently.
All right. Thank you, Scott, so much for having me. It's great to be on again. My name's Kate Hardy, and I am a partner in the Charlotte, North Carolina office of McGuire Woods. As you mentioned, I head up our fairly new cannabis, hemp, and CBD practice here at McGuire Woods. The practice is an outgrowth of a lot of the work that we've been doing with pharmaceutical companies, food and beverage companies. As this space has really grown, we've gotten a lot of questions on it, and we've really developed an expertise here. And it's a cross office practice. We have not only experts on sort of the regulatory life sciences FDA side, we have lots of folks in the office who focus on cannabis issues for employers, since there's so many laws now in each state that either cover medical or recreational cannabis. We've got folks in real estate, federal contracting, et cetera. So it's been a lot of fun.
Phenomenal. And tell us sort of, Kate, to cut to the chase, talk about, I mean, there's been all this legislation about possibly opening up or banking for cannabis. It still is not federally legal. So it's very much a state-by-state hodgepodge of what's legal, what's not. It's different in different states between medical and recreational use. What are a few of the big issues you're watching right now?
Well, definitely, like you said, the federal issues. I mean, I think as anybody who's tracking in the space probably saw the MORE Act passed again, trying to remove cannabis as a Schedule I drug under the Controlled Substances Act. It passed the House of Representatives. We work closely with our McGuire Woods government legislative branch, and we're watching this on the ground. We don't think it's going to quite get the movement yet, but of course, everybody's very anxious to hopefully see something happen at some point, because a lot of what's happening in the states is sort of bungled up by the fact that cannabis is still technically illegal at the federal level, and it impacts, you know, contracting and all kinds of other things.
And so it passes in the House. Does it pass in the House along party lines, where it's voted yes by the Democrats, no by the Republicans? Or is it more complicated than that? And then what about in the Senate? I mean, why won't it pass in the Senate? Who's against it in the Senate? Because assuming, can they not get all 50 Democratic votes to pass it in the Senate? Or is that, what's going on in the Senate?
Sure. Well, I think there's folks on both sides who have an interest in this. Because it's not just a question of let's have cannabis not be a controlled one substance anymore, there's so many more pieces, and lots of folks in the industry are focused on this too. I mean, there's tax issues. So even if we make cannabis not a controlled substance, that's not going to fix perhaps some of the tax things that are going on. So there's a lot of different pieces to it. There's also a couple of other cannabis bills that are floating around there. There's the Cannabis Administration Opportunity Act. That's a bigger bill. It does more than just decriminalize marijuana. So at this point, I feel like House and the Senate, everybody wants to see something happening. There's so much different pressure on both sides that it's sort of a little bit like what's out there in industry right now. It's just, you've kind of got a tornado of things that it's really hard to pull back in and focus and get it done.
Got it. So you have a few defectors, as I understand, as I'm reading this, there's a few defectors on the Democratic side that won't vote for it. There's a few Republicans that do vote for it. And so it's sort of a mess. And then there's this perspective that President Biden's not really, you know, he says he wants to change, is not really pushing it forward as fast as he would or as he could, and that there's just not as much momentum for it as there should be. They also say in the Senate, because it's not a, because at least to get past filibuster rules, they need 60 votes, not 50 votes. It's not, I guess it's not a reconciliation bill. Fascinating perspective on this. And in fact, the House is ready to decriminalize it. The Senate's not quite there yet. It's just still stuck in this limbo. Fascinating. And as you said, they've passed the MORE Act before. And I thought the MORE Act or the MORE Act stood for a person's name, but essentially it does not. It stands for something, Marijuana Opportunity Reinvestment and Expungement Act, the MORE Act. So I am learning as we go as well. You are way, way ahead of me. But at least that's just on the political side. Kate, what else are you watching in the cannabis and CBD area? What else are the big issues you're following?
So there's so much happening in every state across the board on a daily basis. So whether you have established states like Colorado and California, the rules are constantly evolving there based on sort of how their market is developing. And then newer states that are coming on board, like New York, they're having growing pains. So we're really watching everything on a daily basis. It changes very quickly, which is why it's really important when you're trying to get into this space that you really do understand that it's important to stay on top of it. The other thing for us from a transaction perspective is there's a lot of similarities in the cannabis space as maybe folks are used to, say on the private equity or lending side, when you're doing physician practice type deals or hospital deals. There are licenses involved in cannabis, and the things that we're used to for change of ownership also apply in the cannabis space. So when we're counseling clients, you know, we say it's really, really important upfront, not only to understand what is the state requiring from a license perspective, think about who you're disclosing on that license, think about how you've set up from a corporate structure, and plan that forward if you are potentially looking to merge or sell or anything along those lines, because some states have very specific disclosure requirements, very specific approval requirements. Probably not something I don't feel like is top of mind, just because there's a lot of new things in this space, but that is really, really important even from, you know, just your market entry perspective.
Certainly in a heavily licensed, heavily regulated area from state to state, just like the general health care, heavily regulated. And this was a whole other set of complications. It's still federally not legal. So the whole banking and tax system on it still makes it a very challenging business. And so, in fact, the cannabis stocks, as I watch the cannabis stocks, you know, I've made a minor investment because it keeps it interesting. It's like sports betting. It keeps it interesting in this Amplify ETF, one of the cannabis ETFs, CMBS. And of course, that's been nothing but a disaster since I've invested in it, thinking this would all be okay. What is until they get these banking and finance issues and tax issues sorted out, this is still going to be a tough area to really invest in, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is going to be tough. There's a couple of states that are trying to work around some of the banking things and provide a framework for state level banks or, you know, non-federally insured banks to maybe bank this money. There are some larger banks that are getting a little bit more comfortable with it. I mean, I think aside from the federal challenges, the compliance challenges, if you are a bigger bank and you want to take this on, it's another added expense from a monitoring and compliance and reporting perspective. So Yes, I think it's going to be tough for a little bit longer, but you know, it can be done. It is being done, and certainly getting in on it early is an exciting thing for a lot of people.
Passing, right, because the people that have enough money, enough chance to take opportunities on can play the long game on this, where at some point everybody does believe it will be legalized, the banking tax will get straightened out, it'll be a very significant industry. But if you have enough money to invest, you can play the long game in this, knowing it's a part of your portfolio. It's almost like a venture part of your portfolio. And then people have made a lot of money in starting all kinds of things in it and selling it too. But it seems like right now we're sort of in this standoff point where, you know, all the big cannabis stacks are relatively flat for some time until some of these things get sorted out. What a fascinating area. I mean, what a fascinating area. And you folks are busy as heck in this area, giving advice, giving counsel, people doing deals, people trying to figure it out, it seems like.
Yes, absolutely. And that's just the cannabis side. I mean, there's a whole nother world on the hemp-derived CBD side, which, of course, you know, you can't really go to any drugstore or gas station at this point without seeing some product, whether it's a food or a drink that's got, you know, hemp in it or CBD in it. And of course, there's the whole issue with Delta 8. So that is an entirely separate area that we're also doing quite a bit of work with folks on.
It take 2 minutes on that, the Delta 8 issues, because I hear that phrase more and more. I'm obviously not a cannabis expert. And also on CBD, because everything is like, it's like the nutrition stuff. CBD is every place. And, you know, most of us still don't know exactly when they say it's this much THC in it, this much CBD in it, this is Delta 8. Most of us, you know, are not real students of the game and have a hard time distinguishing all these things and trusting all these things. Give us a little bit of the things between THC, CBD, and Delta 8. And what is Delta 8?
Sure. So CBD, and meaning hemp-derived CBD, like cannabis, is also a federal and a state interplay. And we, of course, get a lot of questions. Most folks say, well, it's got to be okay because of the farm bill, and we know that hemp's okay, and I see all these products out there, so it's fine. And that's not exactly correct. The FDA, at the end of the day, regulates in some way, you know, dietary supplements, things like hemp or CBD that you're putting into food. FDA has not cleared a federal pathway for any of this. Meanwhile, though, the train has left the station. Lots of states have created a space where you can sell a product with hemp-derived CBD in it or some form of hemp in it. And so you can do that at the state level. It's another case where if you want to get into this area, obviously, I think most people know FDA's issued several warning letters against companies that are putting these products out there and making inappropriate health claims. But generally, I don't think FDA at this point has quite enough resources to really sort of get out there and get after everybody until FDA figures out exactly what they want to do. So in the meantime, if you are looking to sell these products, it's really, really important, again, to understand what the state level laws are going to be. There are states out there that say, you know, absolutely not. We are following what FDA says. You can't put these products, you can't put any of this in these products. There are other states out there that are much more open to it, but they do have specific laws with respect to how that product is labeled, how you're keeping track of where you're sourcing your hemp. Some states have specific registration requirements. It is a little bit difficult if you want to be in several states, just even on the labeling aspect, because you might have to have a very different label for each state that you're working in. And then to answer your question on Delta 8, it's basically the same thing. A lot of folks have said under the Farm Bill, there's kind of this loophole for Delta 8, there's a couple of different ways you can derive Delta 8. Some of it involves synthetic products. FDA is very much against Delta 8 at this point. and the states are also a patchwork. I feel like I've seen more states now basically coming down in some way and saying, we just don't want any Delta 8 products at all on the market. Part of that is because these are not regulated. So what ingredients are in there, how much of an ingredient is not regulated. And unfortunately, there's been several products on the market where there's been some pretty significant adverse reactions, either in adults or unfortunately in children, because sometimes the packaging can really look fun. And if it's a gummy, you know, a young child is not really going to maybe understand the difference to what they're picking up. And there's been a real uptick in calls to the Poison Control Center at the CDC and also state level poison control centers. So right now, Delta 8 it's a definite concern, as is CBD, just because there's not a whole lot of guardrails out there, and you don't always know what you're getting or where it's come from.
Fascinating. Thank you for, you know, I hear nothing about it. I just hear it's another strain of THC, another strain of something that's all fine, yeah. But it sounds like it's not all fine. So thank you so much for articulating that and letting us know about Delta 8. So we've learned today about the MORE Act and what's going on there, unlikely to pass in the Senate. Some Democrats voted against it. Some Republicans voted for it. In the House, it passed the House, but unlikely to pass the Senate. We've talked about sort of the myriad amount of different regulations, state to state, in cannabis, THC, CBD, et cetera. We've also learned a little bit about Delta 2. We've also learned that the FDA doesn't have nearly the resources to go after all the different people making all kinds of cannabis and CBD claims and so forth. Kate, always brilliant. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. Again, partner McGuire Woods. You could find more about things that are going on in the space through Edible Bites, the McGuire Woods Cannabis Podcast, or through In the Weeds, the newsletter. Kate Hardy, always brilliant. Thank you very much for taking the time to visit with us today.
Thank you so much, Scott.